the human being, the insan, every moment is confronted by two conditions. He is involved in two conditions. You can say he is in one of these two conditions always, scenarios or situations. Either he is sinning, small sin, big sin, akhlaq sinning, sin related to manners or conduct, or sin against society. It's a sin, and there's no limit to sin. Or he is in the other scenario. He or she is implementing a good deed, good amal, good action. Just like there are many, many sins a person can commit, in the same way there are many, many good deeds a person can implement. With every breath, a human being can implement a good action. Isn't this the case? Yes, if you reflect and analyze, I've analyzed and reflected, and I've seen these two things, and I'm sharing this with you. That a human being at any one time can be either in scenario A, that he's committing a sin, because when a person sins, he doesn't even realize, but he's sinning. And the other scenario the person can be in always is that he's doing good deeds, good amal, he's occupied in good deeds and good actions. Now, if we see the two scenarios, which is the good scenario condition that will take us to paradise? Which one is good? If I ask you a question, out of these two scenarios, but both are dangerous, I will say. And both of these scenarios can take a person to Jahannam. Both. If we see here, whether a person's committing a sin, or outwardly, or he's committing a good deed. Both are dangerous situations. Now, I'll explain. Why is the person who's sinning in a dangerous situation? Obviously, we know, and I know, and you know, that a person who commits sins when he's physically doing a sin, then don't ask. The person's emotions and spiritual and physical condition at the time is that person's far from Allah's rahmah, mercy. He's earning Allah's displeasure. Allah is severely unhappy with that person. Barakah is finished from that person. His du'as are not accepted by Allah. And the lanat is coming down on that person. The curse is coming down on that person. Adab is on that person. And the condition of his heart changes, and wretchedness is surrounding that person. Destruction comes to that person. Shayateen and jinnat, they surround that person. And this is the, you can say, emotion or condition surrounding every sin. Remember this, whether it's a minute sin, even then this is the situation, the scenario that confronts the sinner. Oh, I was just going, my eyes just wandered for a few seconds. That's it. When your eyes wander, you are in that position. Yes, it's the worst scenario. The worst scenario. And this is, you could say, whether it's minor or big, oh, my du'as are not accepted, oh, I'm a good person, I'm pious, what sin have I committed that I'm getting punished? I pray many salah, I'm pious, I do dhikr, wazifas, whatever people tell me to recite, I do. I don't know, I've read kitabs and books, I read the Qur'an, and even then I've got problems, and my issues are not going far away. Why? What's the reason? Because the person doesn't leave the sins. Yes, so this is the definition of sin, that the person goes far from Allah's rahmah, mercy, and he earns destruction and wretchedness. So is this not dangerous? The person who commits a sin, may Allah not allow us. But if a person dies in the state of sin, direct where will he go? Where? Jahannam. The sin will deliver the person. No, everyone else is sinning. What can we do? It's only a small sin. I do ibadah, I do other good actions, and I keep fasts, and okay, I sin at the same time. We do both. Yes, you do. You do worship. But Allah Ta'ala says that don't waste your deeds, your good deeds, don't burn them. Has Allah Ta'ala not said this? O people of Iman, do not waste your deeds. Can deeds get wasted? Yes, when I say I pray salam pious, they get wasted. How? As soon as I do good action, big actions, and I do sin in parallel, then the sin overwhelms and burns the good deeds. It wastes and eats away the good deeds. So isn't this dangerous to sin? Of course, direct Jahannam, direct hellfire. Now, if we look in ourselves from morning until evening, where do our eyes go? Where do our eyes wander and stray? Okay, you've understood what I'm saying? Fair enough. But how can a person go into Jahannam with good deeds? Say, Subhanallah. What point is this that's coming out today? I've heard until today that if you do good deeds, you go to paradise. If you do this action, you go to paradise. If you do dhikr, you go to paradise. If you read Quran, you'll go to paradise. People say this, don't they? But today in this gathering, we'll say that these actions will take a person to Jahannam, hellfire. Oh, I've done many good things and I've got good news and I'm pious. But straight into hellfire will... Even good deeds will take a person to Jahannam. Yes? So sinful people will be going to hellfire due to their sins. And the person who does good amal will be going to Jahannam for what reason? Because of his good deeds. How? How can this be, we ask? How? That just like a person, when he does sins and he gets wretchedness and he's a loser, in the same way a person who does good deeds, why will his good deeds take him to Jahannam, hellfire? Because with good deeds he's got kibr. He's got pride. Ah, Allahu Akbar, kibr. Pride is such a big sin. I am this. I'm sat here today. I'm on the prayer mat. I'm doing dhikr. I am the sheikh. I'm the greatest sheikh. And no one's more pious than me. I'm a peer. And I've got murids. I've got more murids than anyone else. People come every day to me. I've got the biggest gathering when I give speeches. People listen to me. Look at my tafsir of my Quran. I'm not saying this. Inside, shaitan is making me feel like this. My brothers, this may sound bitter, but I'm being honest with you. It may sound bitter, but I'm being honest with you. This is with regards to the hereafter. Our pious predecessors have told us. This is the cure. Thousands of people are in this scenario today. That they've achieved a lot. They've got titles, they've got knowledge, they've got ilm. They are peers and sheikhs and scholars. Allah knows best. But what will happen? Where will they be in the hereafter? Allah will say that you didn't do a small sin. Oh foolish person, didn't you read the Quran? These deeds of yours, your good deeds, destroyed you where? I gave you good things, Allah said. But you allowed kibr to come into your heart. That shaitan had kibr, Allah Ta'ala says. Shaitan was such a wretched individual that he was proud of his ibadah, his ilm. He was so knowledgeable and he became so proud of his ilm and his knowledge and his status that Allah rejected him for what reason? What was the one reason Allah expelled him from Jannah? Due to his kibr, his pride. Allahu Akbar. And if this kibr comes into me, despite all my good deeds, Allah has given me the heights and I've got kibr in my heart. I'm showing off. I think I'm better than others. I've got riya. I'm showing off. I look down at others. Thousands of whispers of shaitan and my nafs coming to me. Because Allah has given me good qualities, but I think I'm better than others. People seem, oh, mashallah, he's a knowledgeable person. He's got big gatherings. People flock to him to listen to him. He's known. He's widely acclaimed. Isn't this the case? But when Allah will put the scale out, the scale to weigh the deeds and the scale that Allah has created, that scale is very unique. And that scale, when a person's deeds will be weighed, then his deeds will change at that time. His deeds change. So here, what do we learn? The danger with a person when he's got good deeds, there's so much danger that more than sins, there's more danger in a person who's got good deeds. You'll think this is funny. The more worse than sins is a person who's got good deeds with kibbutz. I'll give you an example. That I haven't done hifz of Quran, okay? And you can say to him something, but the people of the Qura who have done hifz, they will keep on saying that I've done hifz, I've got done knowledge, I know better than you. So there's a difference, isn't there? Yes? So for example, if I don't have something in me, I don't have the quality, and the other person has that quality, then if he says, I've got this quality, you don't have this. So in other words, you have such a feeling that everybody else around you, you look down at them because they don't have those qualities and skills that you've got. The attributes that you've got. So everyone will be further down for that person. He'll be higher. No one's better than me. My recitation's good. Recite like me or show me the ilm that I've got. Inside, if that person's got that feeling. And his actions sometimes demonstrate, vahiri, externally, that he feels like this inside. Better than other people he feels. Then that is a sin bigger than those who commit the normal sins. That we see the sins of people who are sinful. That sometimes, for example, if you do this sin, somebody will rebuke you and scold you. But who can tell someone who's got this kibr in his heart that it's hard to tell him? He sat on the prayer mat, on the minbar in the masjid. You say, Hazur, Sheikh said, oh, don't criticize me. How dare you speak against me? How dare you say to me that I've got a problem, that I've got something deficient? How can you tell me this? How dare you? I'm better than you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the good deeds take us where? To Jahannam. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. These are good things that we're sharing with each other. For those people of understanding, this is a good lesson. Where do we want to go? Say it loudly. Where do we want to go? to Jannah, to paradise. So sometimes we should analyze ourselves, reflect on ourselves. Very big loss will be that man and that woman, I tell you now. Very big loss. Everyone's listening to me. Those people who have a link with me spiritually, they're listening to me now. Intaha, extreme losers will be those people who have not started the program of tazkiyah. I tell you this now. This is such a program of tazkiyah that you do self-assessment regularly. Both feelings are coming into you. Both the sin and the good deeds. This is Allah's karam and mercy. Alhamdulillah, Allah wants this. Allah wants us to do tazkiyah. This is what Allah Ta'ala desires. That you should have a feeling inside you that when you are committing yourself to the sheets, say subhanAllah, the sheet system. That person who doesn't do the sheets, then if he's busy in both, he's got kibbut, he thinks he's better than others. He's either a sinner, he's doing sins openly, he's going to Jahannam, or he's doing good deeds, but he's got pride, he's going to Jahannam. But that man or woman, he doesn't accept that he wants to be saved from Jahannam and come out of hellfire, then that person's a loser. So I tell you this now again, I remind you, this bayan is telling us again, my words are telling you, that such a bikram of Allah, that when a person does his self-assessment, he is on the right path. But if you don't judge yourself daily, if you don't analyze your deeds from morning until evening, did I lie, backbite, slander, say subhanAllah. That you have, your sheet will tell you in the evening, you lied, you have to tick it if you lied. When the sheet is telling you, you lied, then inside you will feel a pinch, won't you? That I've got problems. You'll have that. Oh, this isn't good. I made a mistake today. So the day of tomorrow, your day of tomorrow, alhamdulillah, that will revive you. And you'll try your best to be good after that. Yes? So should we all not be on this tracking system? The tazkiyah system? So that individual is a big loser who doesn't take the advantage of this opportunity. Allah sent this system to the homes. The sheet system. Anyway, I'm going off track here. Allah's ahsan and favor, and I mentioned this to you in the bayan, that how a person can be ungrateful that he's got a good environment, and even then Allah wants to save him from hellfire, and he doesn't value and appreciate, he doesn't have value for the opportunities. If today we have value and appreciate, today for example you're standing in your shop and you don't account at the end of the day for your shop's takings and your money and income, and you don't know how much money you've earned, your revenue, the profit, then your shop will lose out. Every man of wisdom who's got a shop, he'll look at the end of the day, how much did I sell, what was the revenue, what was my income, what was my cost, what was my profit, then he'll assess that this stock is not sold, this is deficient, I need to reduce the price, and the stock that's selling more, I'll buy more stock so that I can get more turnover. So that's the brainy businessman, and the person who's a Muslim who wants to go to Jannah, when he looks at his sheet every day, so oh, I'm a loser, Hazrat Sahib told me to do this, Hazrat Sheikh told me to do this, and I'm ashamed. So your sheets will make you feel the shame and remorse, and your sins will come out of your life, subhanAllah. The sins will come out of your life. So can there be a bigger foolish person who doesn't follow this system he's been given, that he doesn't assess himself every day? So anyway, so two things that take a person to Jahannam. One is open sinning, and second is a person who's doing good deeds, but he's got pride. Both will go to hellfire. So let's come to the solution now. Shall I tell you the solution? Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So we cannot be saved from this. First thing, we cannot be saved. The first scenario, I told you, scenario A, the individual who does sins all day long or regularly, and he goes to Jahannam direct, how will he save himself? How will Allah forgive that person? How will his du'as be accepted? How will his amal be forgiven so that he can go towards hell, heaven? Allah Ta'ala's kamal, Allah's rahmah is so great, Allah's mercy and Allah's fadl is so great, subhanAllah. What a cure that Allah Ta'ala has given, a great cure. Our pious predecessors have stated that the cure for a person who sins regularly, who openly sins, and he doesn't care. So sin here, now we're going opposite. The same sin will take you to hellfire. Yes, these mistakes will take you to hellfire. But Allah has given the cure so we can go towards paradise. We have to do one action. Even if 10,000 times you sin in a day, in a month, but do one action, Allah Ta'ala says. What is that? Allah says, whenever you commit the sin, straight away do tawbah. Say subhanAllah, repent. Repent. Whether you're in the shopping center, home, shop, in the plane, in the masjid, outside the masjid, wherever you are. Tazkiyah, your tazkiyah report will tell you when you assess yourself in the evening. Then don't sit down and cry, oh, I'm a loser, I've sinned again, I can't save myself, I can't improve myself. No, Allah's given rule. So ibadah, Allah's given worship, Allah's kept this. That Fajr, you pray Salah and you commit many sins. You come to Dhuhr, Allah says, I wash you, I purify you. Say, subhanAllah. What a system Allah has created. So then a sin comes, you commit a crime. you sin again. Jummah comes, you commit sins after Jummah, till the next Jummah, you pray Jummah, sins are wiped away. One Ramadan comes, then the rest of the year you do wretched diseases and sins. Ramadan comes back again, Allah wipes away the sins. Hajj comes, after Hajj, look at the sins you commit, subhanAllah. The next Hajj comes, you're sitting at Arafat, Allah says, I don't just forgive you, but I turn all of your sins into good deeds. So Allah gives opportunities. Allah gives opportunities for forgiveness. So here we realize from this logic, the system of life, of the deen, Allah has made a system that a man every second, every day, every month, every week, Allah says that through the sins you can make Allah Ta'ala forgive you. You can turn your sins into good deeds. Transform the sins into good deeds. But shaitan doesn't allow us to do this. Allah says, never lose hope. Never lack hope. Never become despondent. Even if you sin, you continue. The more sins you do, major sins, and you do sin, after doing sin, after 5 minutes, I commit the sin again. Allah says, do tawbah again, then you'll be washed again, you'll be purified again. So Allah says that in this revolving cycle, when you sin, forgiveness, when you die, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allah says, you are jannati. You are the person of paradise if you did tawbah. So will he get to paradise or not? So then, did the sins spoil him? Did they spoil me and you? No. But what do after sinning? We don't go towards Allah and seek recompense and forgiveness and accept that we are criminals. We don't do this. We don't stand and say, Allah, I've committed this crime. It's a small sin. But this sin has taken me far from Allah. Allah, I promise to you that I won't do this again. Solid promise that Allah won't do this again. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. And then the next moment, the next time, if Malamul Maut comes and takes your ruh out, and you say, Allah, he's a sinner. No. Allah, he was sinful, he was a criminal in the night, he smoked, and he took alcohol, he did zina, in the night he wasted his time. How bad, Allah, he has to go to Jahannam. But what does that angel know? That he bowed his head one day, 1 second, and he made friendship with Allah, and he repented to Allah. So this is the secret between man and Allah, the creator, Rabbul Alameen. The secret between Allah and his makhluk, his creation, is tawbah. The secret between Allah, the Lord of the universe, and his creation is the secret of tawbah. Never say to anyone that he's jahannami, that Allah's rahmah, look at that. When did that person do tawbah? Do you have to bang the drums when you're doing tawbah? Do you have to make an announcement for the speaker or call for a gathering and get witnesses when you do tawbah? No. Will you have to go to a special place or do special ibadah? No, nothing. Wherever you are, bow your head and say, Allah, I need to make the connection with you. I'm meant to make the relationship with you. Allah, I stick my hand out. I extend my hand out to you. Allah, you said that if I extend my hand out to you, you will come much closer to me. Allah, please extend your hand of rahmah to me. Allah will say that I embrace you. I embrace you. Allah says, I bring you close to me. So will we do tawbah, my brothers? Have we got the solution now to our sins? That's it. Commit the sin. Do tawbah. Commit the sin, do tawbah. If you're sinning repeatedly, you're sitting, you do dhikr, then again you go to sin. After that, you do the sin. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. When you practice this, so much shame will come into your life. You will have haya and modesty. But, oh, why did I do those sins? I said to Allah, I won't do this again. And then the sheet system will help you, my friends. This is a cure, a solution to your sins. Do you understand? Because every day you will be reminded of the sin. So there's the solution for the sinful person who sins regularly. Secondly, is that person who does good deeds. And where will the good deeds take us? To hellfire. So how do we solve this problem? Raya, showing off, pride, belittling others, looking down on others. So how do I get rid of these crimes internally, spiritually? For example, I've just come to dhikr. I've done a good deed, isn't it? Now, if I don't cure myself according to the solution, then I'll have pride and I will look down at others and I'll become a peer. I'll think I'm pious and I'll think I'm better than others and I've got more knowledge than others. This is what happens. The other person who doesn't pray Salah, or just he started to pray Salah, I'll start looking at him in a way, I've seen many like you come to pray. Someone doesn't have a beard, or someone starts to grow a beard, and then the person who's already got the beard, he hasn't got much of a beard, and he starts to look at him and belittle him. A person starts to do a good deed and the other person hasn't started to do good deeds, then he starts to frown at him and look down at him in a bad way, that he's a sinful person, isn't it? And he says, oh, I pray 5 times a day. Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself, you don't even pray. And I'll say this to him in front of others, aren't you ashamed of yourself? You haven't even prayed, and it's only 3 days that you have been praying, and you're looking down at that person. Oh, look, I follow the sunnah, I've got imama, I wear the libas. Aren't you ashamed in front of people? You don't wear the right libas, you don't follow the sunnah. You talk down to that person. Don't we say this? Don't we look down at this? No. Oh, no. I'm doing this for tabligh, so I can teach him Islam, so he can also learn. Astaghfirullah. How can this be? Is this the way to explain? There's a way, a method of giving dawah to somebody. Yes, but this is a very dangerous disease in our hearts, where we belittle others and look down others. After doing good deeds, the good deeds are more dangerous than the sins, and they can take us to hellfire. Shall I tell you the solution, my friends? The solution so that you protect your good deeds, so there'll be no showing off, no pride, no takabbur. And that good deed, as soon as you do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will embrace it and accept it. Oh, I couldn't hear you saying subhanallah loud enough. Say it louder, subhanallah. So we're sat here in this dunya, stuck in a trap, my friends. It's very difficult for us to achieve the success. It's very difficult, isn't it? We have to save ourselves and protect ourselves from these crimes. So the second scenario, which is we do good deeds, but we have pride and we go towards Jahannam. So what will give us the solution? After doing every good deed, even if it's a minor good deed, shaitan will whisper in your ears, you're walking and you do a good deed. For example, you're walking along the path and you move the leaf or the branch out of the way. Why? You say, I heard an alim sahib, he was given a bayan on Juman. The alim sahib scholar said that if you remove the stone, the boulder, the rock, and I heard the event, if I remove the stock or the stone or the rock from the path, Allah will forgive that person because he's removed an obstacle. If a woman did this, Allah Ta'ala forgave her. And the alim sahib said this story. So I'm walking along the way, the pavement, I see a stone or a rock and I move it out of the way, shaitan will come straight away. Small deed. Good deed, and shaitan will start to make me feel good. And I'll say to the next person, you know, today I was walking on the pavement and I moved that stone out of the way, the rock. We should do these good deeds, you know. Till the evening, I'll repeat that incident to many people and announce it, publicize it, advertise it, print it. I just moved the rock out of the way. Until I get home, I'll tell other people I did this, I'm pious. Oh, and I removed this from the pathway of the masjid and people saw that I took that branch out of the way, I put it in my pocket. So a small good deed, not a massive thing. But one quality of a good deed is that shaitan and nafs, they are with us. So what they do, that we announce it and share it, people will tell, oh, I fasted today. After, it's a nafal fast, voluntary, and I keep the fast, and then khajur, I'll start buying dates, and I'll give other people dates. So you have dates, so I have kept the fast, and I know I'm breaking the fast with dates. Why am I giving out dates to others? To show them that I've got dates, because I'm going to break the fast with dates. I'm going to show them that I'm fasting. Have you seen this? I've seen it in masjids, people do this. Masjids, so that others realize that you didn't keep the fast, but I kept the fast. And I want you to know, should we do it like this? No, we shouldn't. We should hide our good deeds and break the fast in hiding. Don't need to advertise. Yeah, you got the dates, take them out quietly and eat it. Don't show people, but don't do the sin of pride and showing off to people. Because maybe nafs and shaitan will jump on me. Nafali, by the way, when you do voluntary actions, do them in hiding. Don't show it. Explicit, be implicit. Because the most dangerous thing is that your ibadah may take you to Jahannam and such a big sin of kibar may come to you. Then the whole masjid, I have kept the fast and no one else has kept the fast. And today, the fast of Monday, I've kept and I'm breaking the fast with the dates and everybody's watching me. So, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Have you kept the fast on Monday? You know, it's very enjoyable keeping the fast on Monday. I've kept the fast. You should keep the fast, you know. Again, showing off, advertising. Isn't this the case? So this is an example of wasting the good deeds. So many negative traits come up. What's the solution? That when you do a good deed, so one amal, if you do with every good deed, then alhamdulillah, you'll be saved from showing off to other people. So I'll tell you what is the solution. Listen carefully. Whenever you do a good deed, whenever Allah gives the tawfiq to you to do a good deed, I give the example of moving the branch from the pavement or the stone or the rock or praying salah or sujood or prostration or tahajjud or fasting, mashallah, keeping the nafal fast is a big action, hajj is a big action, nawafil actions are big actions, recitation of Quran is a great action. When Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq capability to a person to do these good deeds, to save yourself from showing off and pride and showing off to others, do always one thing. After you do every good deed, say one thing. Straight away when you do a good deed, amal, then look at yourself, bow your head down, just like you bowed your head to do tawbah. What did we do? We said Allah. Say it loudly. We did tawbah when we did a sin. So after you do a good deed, what do you do? Soon as you do a good deed, straight away say, Allah, this is you who allowed me to do this good deed. This is nothing to do with my capability. I am wretched, Allah. I am bone idle. I am a sinful person. I could never imagine that I'm doing a good deed, that I could sit in your dhikr. Allah, how can I be in the masjid? I'm not even worthy of coming to your masjid. Allah, I'm so grateful. And you're saying this to yourself inside. Allah, I'm a waster. This is your fadl, your karam, Allah, your favor, your mercy. You allowed me to do this, Allah. You allowed me to walk and carry out these actions. If you didn't allow me, Allah, then I was not worthy of doing this action at all. Subhanallah. Then such a great quality will come into you. Such a great condition and character will be developed in you that Allah Ta'ala says that on this character I made people ghaus, kutub and walis of Allah. And this quality and attribute, khalis, purely, is found in those azim human beings in the world. And we can create this sift inside ourselves. My friends, I'm talking about the Sufis now. The Sufis. These qualities and attributes, the biggest attribute and quality is found in whom? The greatest character of human beings are found in whom? That all of the attributes and good qualities, this quality overwhelms all of them. Remember this point I've just said is a great solution. That those azim human beings, the walis of Allah, they have good qualities, but their greatest quality is this one. Who are those azim people? The prophets of Allah, alayhimus salam. The prophets of Allah, the rasools, the nabis, who are the azim, the greatest human beings. From all of their greatest attributes and qualities and characteristics, this was the most prominent and highest. So if we do this action, then the reflection of the qualities of the nabis, we will earn from that as well and benefit. So this goes against what? The biggest disease, which is what? Kibar, pride. So this quality is the greatest and highest quality. If you've got kibar, you can never have this quality. But if you've got this quality, then you will cancel out kibar. And this is ajizi, humbleness, humility, tawaza. Ajizi, to consider oneself the lowest. Not from your tongue. Oh, I'm the worst. I'm miskeen. I am the sinner. I'm not an alim. I'm not a Sufi. No, no, no. Don't say this from your tongue. One is saying it from the mouth, and one is saying it in your heart to believe it, to accept it. And both, the difference is like the difference between the heavens and the earth, the sky and the earth. Those who say it from their mouth, I'm nothing. I'm humble. I'm simple. No one trusts. But the person who says it in his heart, everyone testifies for that person in the world. Say Subhanallah. Say it louder. I can't enjoy the Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The whole world will testify this person is good. He doesn't need to bang the drum. He doesn't need to announce he's good. He doesn't need to tell others that I'm the worst. Everyone will say he's a fakir. He's a dervish. MashaAllah, let's give him rutbah, status. Look at his maqam. Look at his status. The people in the world will say, and what is he saying? No, 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 no. I'm nothing. He's saying, I'm the worst situation, Allah. What is going to happen to me in the hereafter? Will I be accepted? Will I be forgiven? SubhanAllah. So what is the solution for a person who thinks he's better than others? That Allah Ta'ala has given us amal, good deeds. May Allah give us more opportunities. The night ibadah, the tahajjud, dhikr, adhkar, recitation of Quran. May Allah give us hajj after hajj. The more Allah Ta'ala gives so much, but the more we get, we should lower ourselves. Humble Allah, I'm nothing. It's your fadl Allah, your karam, your favor Allah, your mercy. You gave me this Allah. It wasn't me who did this. It's you who allowed me to do this Allah. This is what we need to think in our hearts. Even the minutest of good deeds. 10 minutes, say Allah, I praise you, Allah, you're the greatest, Allah, you allowed me to do this, say Subhanallah. Then if you come to me and say, and then tell me what is the feeling of your heart after you do a good deed, and you'll say, oh, I enjoyed myself so much, I don't need to tell anyone that I'm doing good deeds. I'm enjoying myself in fasting, I don't need to show anyone dates when I break the fast, or that I'm fasting, I don't need to tell them. Do you understand what I'm saying now, the two solutions? Did you understand the good points? You understood them? You like them? Will you do amal on this? Inshallah. Okay, so these are two great sifat qualities. Every moment in our lives, we should get the opportunity to do tawbah, repent, that we have to first accept we are sinful. I speak nonsense, rubbish, I'm the worst bakwas individual in the world. And the most sinful, the most dangerous human being in the world is that person. When he sins after sinning, he says, no, I didn't sin. I'm not sinful. I'm clean. That's why he never leaves the sins. Yes, doesn't matter how much you tell him off or scold him, he won't leave the sins because he doesn't consider the actions he's doing as a sin. Allahu Akbar. Yes, a human being, if you say to him it's poison, will he drink poison? Haji sahab, will you drink poison? Never will you drink poison. Will you? Never. Yeah, if I say it's poison, oh no, I'm not going to drink the poison. Will anyone drink poison? No. So that person, why does he sin when he's told it's a sin? Why is he wrapped up in sin? Why? Because he doesn't accept the sin as a sin. Yes? So a person who doesn't consider poison as poison, he'll drink poison. He says, this is not poison, he'll drink it. This is sherbet. This is 7-Up. So will he stay alive or die? He will die. So the human being who sins and doesn't consider a sin as a sin, he doesn't define a sin as a sin, he won't leave the sins. When he doesn't leave the sins, he'll get nothing except Jahannam, hellfire. Hellfire. The biggest disease, the person swimming in the pool of sins. Yes? And this spot will tell him, this sin, that these are the punishments of the sin. Allah's Nabi says, Mastura. He said, oh no, I don't believe in that. And he runs back to the sins again. He jumps into the swimming pool of sins again. He doesn't do tawbah. The person who will consider an action as a sin, he will do tawbah. He will repent. When he does tawbah, then Allah will say that you are my friend. Because he recognizes and accepts, because he's got the attribute inside that he doesn't want to sin. So that he knew he could sin, and he wants to do sin, he'll run to sin. But the kamal is that he accepts that I'm a criminal, I'm sinful, Allah, you my khaliq, Allah, forgive me. I request forgiveness from you, Allah, forgive me. Allah says, I've forgiven you because you accepted you're a criminal. Tomorrow then do the sin. Yeah? So here what is stated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatullahi alayhi, stated, for that person, why do you cry? Why do you cry? Why are you crying? Even if you do sins from the earth to the skies, you got so many sins, stacks and mountains, go to your Rabb and once and say, Allah, forgive me. Allah will wipe away your sins. But you have to accept. But the human being doesn't say it. The sinful person who's trapped, Allah, my Mawla, he's trapped. He will never be saved. He will fall into the fire of Jahannam because he doesn't accept he's a criminal. He doesn't accept that he's sinning. So to create this condition, my friends, is a big condition to accept that one person is a criminal. And the second sin, the second conundrum, a person who's got pride, we say we will do this, but the conclusion I've told you, the person who does amal, he'll become the wali Allah. The person who 10 minutes says, Allah, you allowed me to do this, not me. The person who does this, he becomes wali Allah, ghaus, kutab, azim, friend of Allah. He becomes close to Allah, to the qurb of Allah. He will go to the high stage of Jannah who has done both of these things. Is this easy? These things don't happen by words. Will these attributes come from words? Will you read books about what I'm saying today and become walis? If I say it to you, you say you'll do it. Will you do it? No. I will tell you now, guarantee you will never do amal on this. Never. So what's the solution? You cannot do this just by words. This is a minor status. That's why the Quran has told us further the path, the solution. Yes, it's shown us the path that you cannot implement the good deeds yourself. It is impossible. Allah Ta'ala says, you've heard this, you cannot do this. To do these actions, you need to go to the next step of the solution. Allah, what is that next step? Allah says, "Qudu ma'as sadiqeen." You need to spend time with the good people. I don't enjoy what you're subhanallah, the loudness. Say subhanallah loudly. So, to leave sins, and number two, to leave pride, Allah says, you have to do one action. You need to find a person, a human being, and make him your friend who already has done these actions, and these are the walis of Allah, and their kamal, their qualities, that they've already passed through the highs and the lows, they've already left the sins, accepted sins, they've already left pride. When you go to that person, make him your friend, your teacher, for this purpose that you want to leave sin, no other maqsad, no other objective. For these two things, if you want to attain these two solutions, you go to Wali Allah, you tie the knot with him, make the connection. He's already gone through this journey. He's already found the solution. Then he'll be like a magnet for you. Say subhanallah. He'll be like a magnet. One is metal. Metal is metal. Metal cannot pull other metal, can it? No, because it hasn't got the opposite attractions of north and south. And the other one is the metal with the magnet. The Wali Allah has the current. As soon as you go to the Wali Allah, his current will draw on you. It will pull on you. That's why Allah says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qulu ma'as sadiqeen." Go to those who know. Spend time with those who are pious. Allah has instructed us. Those who are honest, who want to be get repentant from their sins, who want to become good human beings, they don't waste a minute, they find a wali Allah in this world. Somebody gets a wali in England, someone gets one in Manchester, someone gets a wali in Bolton, someone gets a wali in some other part of the world, someone gets him in Baruch, someone gets him in Surat in India, someone gets a wali in Karachi, someone gets him in Pakistan, somebody gets him in Gadai Sharif. Subhanallah. Uncha, highest, Sheikh. Highest. So it's your kismet, your destiny. Depends. And when you attain the Shaykh, then you will reach to the Shaykh because you want to improve your Akhirah. But the person who is an empty box, he doesn't care, he's going to die and fall into a journey. It doesn't matter. Make food, money, enjoy, drink and be merry. They have no ilm. They don't care. They just live their life. I pray Salah, I eat and drink, I'm happy, I don't need a Shaykh. Those people consider this very minor matter, having a Shaykh, getting the guidance. But the Quran tells us, اِهْدِنَا السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is Siratul Mustaqim, the path of Tazkiyah, the Salik. And those who Allah has rewarded, who are those who Allah has rewarded? Those who have the guidance. So to get these two attributes, you want to learn them from speeches. If you want to learn how to leave sin and how to leave pride with the good deeds, you have to do amal on this. How? You can't learn bayans. You can hear bayans about this, but you will not get to the solution. How will you get the solution? You have to find the wali Allah. Seek the wali Allah. What's the tariqah? That if his taqreeb, his bayans the best, is he wali Allah? Whose beard is the longest, is he wali Allah? Whose imamah is biggest, is he the wali Allah? Is that the criteria of the wali Allah? No. No. To attain this, you have to do one action. Shall I tell you that action? Well, this is between you and Allah. If you want to get close to Allah, pray 2 rakah salatul hajat every day. And after praying 2 rakah salatul hajat, say, Allah, give me such a company of such a human being that it's easy for me to get to him, to hear him, and my heart feels he's your wali, and he is your wali Allah, great wali Allah. Subhanallah. And if you don't get the wali Allah, then come and complain to me that you could not find the wali Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for such a human being who wants to have the wali as his teacher, Allah will take that student to the wali's house. He'll knock on the door. I'm thirsty. Can you give me some water to drink? Say subhanallah. Yes, of course I'll give you water. You're thirsty? Come inside. And you'll take him inside. If someone's thirsty, he comes to your house, then you'll give him water and you'll give him drinks and you'll quench his thirst. Everything the teacher will give, he'll give water and liquid and he'll quench the thirst of the student. Yes, in his face there's nur, in his words there's nur, there's enjoyment. In his words, sitting with him, there's enjoyment. And you get lost and immersed in the company of the wali, and he starts to succeed, the student. Why? Because he did dua to Allah. Allah, I want to become a good human being. Allah, I want to be close to you. I'm thirsty for your nearness. Allah, take me to your right path. I don't want to die as an empty box. I don't want to die with the sins. But it's so sad we don't do these things. We don't do these things. We sit there bone idle. We know if I go there, I'll get a job. If I do this course, I'll get a graduation, a certificate. If I go to this country, I'll get a job and I'll do this action to save tax. And I'll go to this person, he'll tell me how to save tax and VAT. The whole jobs of the world will do. But nobody knows that after death, what will give me success? And is there a method to get success after death? I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand? Shall I repeat again? Summarize? Okay, I'll summarize from the beginning. From the beginning. In the beginning, what did we say? First, what do we need to do? For our sins that we commit, not for food or chapatis or for wife, do we do tawbah and do dua. We say, Allah, please introduce me to your friend, Allah. Will we do this? Do dua, I can't hear you. Inshallah. So say, Allah, introduce me to your wali. Then when you find the wali Allah, you make friendship with the wali Allah. When you have the connection with the wali Allah, then you start to follow the guidance of the wali Allah. When you start to follow his journey, then alhamdulillah, the niya, the intention you had, then those qualities will come to your life, and then you will have a feeling in your heart that when you do sins, you will do tawbah, and when you do good deeds, you'll be shukr of Allah, and you'll say, Allah, this is due to your mercy and fadl, I did this, not my own achievement. Then you'll get Allah's raza, Allah will be happy and pleased. People say, when does Allah get happy with you? This is how Allah is happy with a person. This is Allah's rada, the path to Allah's rada. Wattaburidwanullah dhalika fadlullah la yadhim, Allah Ta'ala says. This is what the Quran says. Allah says, come to me, to my hakams, to my orders, what I say, listen to what I'm saying. Ridwanullah. Allah will become pleased with you. Allah will be happy with you. And this is my greatest fadl, when I'm happy with you. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah says, chapati is not fadl, wife is not fadl, kids are not fadl. The greatest fadl of Allah is Allah says, I'm happy with that person. Happy. May Allah Ta'ala be happy with me and you. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.